Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
The letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, we're going to look at the book of Philippians. We're going to start there. We're going to look at a few other verses as we take these moments together to allow God's Word to go through us and to reveal to us and speak to us and remind us of some things that we already know, but to bring them to the forefront of our minds, our heart and minds. A little bit of what I'm going to share this morning came to me by the way of a friend, and I'd like to take that and allow the Holy Spirit to build off those things for you and I this morning that are based upon His Word, and want Him to add to that, to encourage us today, strengthen us today, remind us today. And in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 4 through 8. It starts out like this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, we got a hallelujah that time. Rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul writes, and again I say, rejoice. Don't you worry, Helen. We're going to preach him back to life today. Hey, listen, it's all right if you're a little quiet this morning. I want us to hear these words, the Apostle Paul. It's interesting, you know, he's not just writing this to write it and give some kind of instruction. I want you to be reminded that when he writes this letter, he is in prison. He's tucked away. He's not free. And he's writing, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Listen, he is writing to himself. He's bringing forth a revelation that the Holy Spirit gave him while he's in prison. I mean, you know how this is when we're tucked away alone? If our thoughts start going in the wrong direction, and that's what we start dwelling on, and that's what we start thinking about. No, I'm in jail, and I can't get out, and I don't really deserve to be here, and this went wrong, and I've done that wrong, and now I'm mistreated, and I'm doing what's right for the Lord, and look what's happening to me, and I'm here all alone, and I just can't go out and about, and you ever been alone? You ever feel like you've been in prison by some circumstance or some sickness or some repetitious cycle of something that is bad in our life or whatever it is? Or this happened to me and so I deal with this and I guess this is just, you know, what I'm going to have to deal with. Here he is. And he writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, why do you think he repeats himself? Same reason you repeat things to your husband, ma'am. Same reason you repeat things to your children. The same reason you repeat the punchline of a joke to somebody. Because I want to make sure you get it. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Because I'm not sure you did, because you're not laughing. Honey, I'm repeating myself to you because, you know, I really want you to hear this. Because it's really, really important. He writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Turn to the person next to you and say, about anything. Now tell them, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul's not saying, just ignore your circumstance, ignore your request, ignore your desires, just rejoice in the Lord. He says, no, you can acknowledge your need and what you wish and what you hope for. Bring it to the Lord. You see, this isn't just some kind of mental game or some soulish hoop we jump through for the sake of sounding good. He says, go ahead, bring it to the Lord, whatever it is. Everything. Bring it to Him. But don't be anxious in any of it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It means when you and I are going through something that others would look on and say, how in the world do you have peace going through what you're going through? It does not make any human sense. You should be down, you should be depressed, you should be critical, you should be resentful, you should be bitter, you should be angry, you should be, and the list goes on. And yet you have peace. It passes comprehension in the human mind. But that's the kind of peace that God brings to us, not like the world brings. The world brings peace this way. Nothing is happening that's bad right now. Oh, then I can be at peace. The kind of peace that God brings is whether times are good or bad, we have it. That our peace is not determined by circumstance or situation. It's determined by who God is in our life so that we can rejoice always. Which surpasses understanding, and that this peace, it will guard your hearts and it will guard your minds in Christ Jesus. This whole idea of rejoicing, I want to talk about it a little bit this morning. See, rejoicing means that there was already joy somewhere in your life. And you remember it, and so you rejoice it. You do rejoicing. I know that's not a real word, but it gets the point across. So all you English teachers, you don't need to give me a letter or anything. I know my English is poor. Ain't it? We do rejoicing. That means this. Joy happens somewhere. And now this is in the context. He says, rejoice in the Lord. In other words, to look back and say, God brought me great joy. He revealed Himself to me. He saved me. He delivered me. He healed me. He did something that was good somewhere in my life. And rejoice means I get to take the joy of Him and what happened, and I get to take it now and bring it forward into my current place in life, no matter what I'm facing, and I get to relive it and remind myself, relive it, remind myself, rejoice. I get to push it forward into my present and rejoice in the Lord always, regardless if I'm facing something or not. Say rejoicing. We take what has already been there somewhere that He brought into our life and bring it into our present. What do you think Paul is doing in prison? He's not bumming around in prison. He's got this revelation. It comes to his remembrance. What God has done in his life, and he brings it forward into his present where he is in prison. He's not free, and yet he's free. He is rejoicing in his current circumstance, and he's telling believers, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, he says, rejoice. You see, there's this thing about talking to our own soul. Our soul, our operating system, where we think, where we feel, how we function as a result of those things, the choices that we make with that. Keeping a healthy soul is remembering what God has done, remembering who He is, where you were, and how He's brought you to where you are, bringing me to where I am in life. It affects the whole life outlook. Listen, if we do not rejoice, we will sink into criticism in who we are, our operating system, our habits, our outlook, how we function, how we treat our view of the world, how we treat people, how we treat ourselves. We will sink right into criticism. But when we rejoice, we remember and we find joy in it of what He's done and who He is into our present moment, it's affirming. It affirms His love for us. It affirms who He is. It affirms that He's not a God who teases. He didn't just deliver us from the mouth of a lion so we would turn around and run into a bear. That's not who He is. I'll deliver you here and then I'll let you get devoured here. That's His plan for His children. That's why Jesus died on a cross, right? Not at all. Rejoice is renewing joy, the joyful things that have happened, and we renew it in our conscious thought, the moment in which we live. Rejoying. Listen, I got to tell you something. You know, most of you know we had 4 kids in 4.5 years. Our household, yeah, it was busy. It was noisy. It was fun. I mean, it was tiresome, but it was fun. You want to know how I know it was fun? Because when our children come home, I mean, we got 2 who live in the area, 2 who don't live in the area, and when they converge on our place, something happens after the initial greeting happens and, you know, they start to snack on food and all of this. And, you know, after that first hour, we're all together, something happens. Happens every time. Somebody says something or does something that spurs a memory. And they remember something, they recall it. And now they bring it up and say, hey, Jessica, do you remember when we were little and we? And she'll say something else that builds off of that and says, yeah, and then Brock did this. And all of a sudden, ha, 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 ha. And then Brittany, she jumps in and they start talking. And then Sydney, she starts laughing because she's got this peculiar sense of humor that I find very entertaining. And she starts laughing, and she starts doing this, and she can't get the words out. And all of a sudden, they start telling stories about their mother. And then about each other. And then about me. And I say, I don't remember it that way. They bring up stuff that's like, oh, I forgot about that. And what happens is they remember some joyful times and who did what and when, and we get laughing and telling the stories. And what they did is they're rejoicing. They are taking what has happened and moving it into the present moment, and it brings great joy. And what it begins to do is it begins to set the tone for the rest of the visit. Now, Do they argue sometimes? Do they get on each other's nerves sometimes? Well, of course. They're people. But they start telling stories. I'm not going to go into some of the stories because then it's like, you told that story in front of the, you know. I said, it's not just in front of our church. It's online. Don't get mad at me. It's your social network generation that did it. No. Listen, and so we start rejoicing. It doesn't matter at that moment of which child or their spouse or our grandchild, that maybe they're going through a hard time or they're facing something or they got to go back and make a decision or whatever it is. They took these times that were joyful, put them into the present, and they're rejoicing. Even though they're facing things in their life. It's like me getting together with some buddies. I don't know what women do because I generally don't go to those gatherings. Okay? It's not like me and, you know, 80 women from the church, we're just going to go to the mall a month before Christmas, we're all going to shop together. You know, I don't go to those. I got one woman, that is enough. So I get together with buddies, and you know what we do? We have a good time. Now, here's the interesting thing about men, and I don't know how women do it because I'm not in the meetings, and so you don't have to, whatever. And I know these are some generalities, but, you know, I can go without seeing a buddy for 2 years because he doesn't live in the area, and it takes a lot of effort, life gets busy, whatever. And it'd be 2 years, it'd be a year, whatever. And we'll see each other, we'll get together, we'll make plans, and we'll get together, and we just kind of pick up from where we left off. We don't carry a bunch of, you know, baggage of, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you send me a card? I was going through a tough time about 6 months ago, and I didn't hear from you. And, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know. I love being a man. You know, hey, buddy, yeah, boom, boom, boom. And, you know, and then, you know what happens? You know how we have a good time? We start talking about what we did together that we can laugh about and that we can pick on each other about. And I can go, you remember that, you jerk. Because in men's world, that's affection. Right? Women go, I don't know if I like your friend because he called you a jerk. What are you talking about? Because women, you know, she called me a jerk. I don't know if I can go in public anymore. I just can't, you know, I don't know. I thought I was secure in myself and now, you know, women just, you know, that us guys, it's, I love you, you bonehead. You know, hey, call me a bonehead. I'm all right, you know. And we start talking about stuff we did. We are rejoicing. We are taking the joy that we had and what we experienced, moving it into our present. And we get to kind of relive it. We discover it wasn't all about the activity. It was about being together, encouraging one another. Picking on each other. And all of a sudden, we are in for a good time. Because we just laid the foundation of rejoicing. No matter what we're facing, we brought some joy into our present. And we're going to have an encouraging, great time together. And it doesn't matter if we're golfing or if we're drinking bottomless cups of coffee with endless pieces of pie. It doesn't matter. We are rejoicing. Oh, we'll talk about the past and rejoice. We'll talk about our present. We'll talk about some things of the future. We might even, you know, share some challenges and be real vulnerable and share some challenges with one another in our life. But we get together and we start rejoicing and we make some new joyful things. So the next time we get together, we still tell the same old stories. And then I let him know he's still the same jerk. I'm the same bonehead. And then we talk about the last time we were together. Hey, what you said and what you did. You remember that time you shot that pheasant and you started chasing it through the corn and you had to dive on it to get it? Ah, ha, ha, ha! Rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Bring into your present consciousness the things that God has done and who He is and the things in His Word, because it brings us joy and it reminds us that in our current circumstance, no matter what it is, there's a peace that we shouldn't have in human terms, but it's been given to us, it's been purchased for us on the cross. You know, sometimes we don't rejoice. We just keep reviewing sadness, guilt, wrong things done, wrong things said. We just keep seeing, reviewing past criticisms to the point that we build resentment. All we do is we just live in remorse, bringing all of that into our present instead of rejoicing in the Lord in the day, in the hour in which we live. You know, we got to remember about how the Lord reconstructs. We've got to remember how He reconciles us, brings it together where things are at peace and He is with us and we are with Him, that circumstances haven't been given the power from us to separate us from God. You know, in the church, we want revival. In other words, something that was once alive and is now threatening to become a corpse. And we want it to be revived. We want it to come alive. We want it to be living like it was, full of life. Well, recalling His Word. Because His Word are words of life. I mean, disciples were leaving Jesus, and He looked at His 12 and said, "Are you going to be going too?" And the response was from Peter, "Where are we going to go? For you alone hold the words of life." The living Word, reminding ourselves of His Word. We're bringing it forward into our present of what we have known so that we can rejoice always in Him. Listen, words of life are prophetic. Now, when we mention prophecy, we tend to see it very much as a singular definition of what it means. And we get tangled up thinking that prophecy is only the foretelling of the future. Now, we know prophecies are foretelling. That is prophecy. But the other part of prophecy isn't foretelling, it's telling forth. In other words, telling forth the truth. If you speak a scripture, you speak a biblical principle, you talk about the nature of God, anything like that, understand that that is prophetic. You are telling forth the truth. So when we talk to ourselves, to our soul, and we take from what we know from the past to bring into our present that causes us to rejoice, when we think about that, when we talk about that, when we declare it to ourselves and remind ourselves, we're prophesying to ourselves. We're building ourselves up. That's what prophecy does. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Pursue love, verse 1, and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding. Speaks to those in the church about encouraging them, consoling them. So here's the deal. We're supposed to look at who he is and what he's done, bring it into our present, remind ourselves that we can rejoice in him no matter what we face. And we prophesy to ourselves to build us up in the faith. Now, this is supposed to spill over into other people's lives. How many of you know how to encourage somebody? Put your hand up. Come on, just do this with me. If you know how to encourage somebody. Okay, all of you who raised your hand, I want you to hear this loud and clear. You know how to prophesy. I want you to hear that, because we read the spiritual gifts and prophesying, and I heard somebody do it, and I don't have the courage, and they spoke this word in church, and I understand it was prompted by the Spirit, it was for a fresh moment, but understand that you and I, when we tell the truth to someone from the Scripture and who God is, and we talk about him into someone's life who is discouraged, and we bring encouragement, we prophesy. When someone who is weak, and we see their weakness, and they confess their weakness, and maybe it's because of worry, or maybe it's because of insecurity, or maybe it's because of fear that's robbing them, and we speak what God has done for us, and who he is, and what he'll do for them, we bring it forward and we rejoice in him, and it produces peace for them, and it produces hope for them that conquers fear and insecurity, whatever has brought upon this weakness. You look for pain in somebody, you recognize it in somebody. And you come to them with compassion, and you maybe listen to their story, and you show the kindness of giving time to them. And then you talk about what the Lord has done for you. Talk about what the Lord has done for others. Talk about what the Lord says and what he's done for people in Scripture. And it's not that you're preaching a message at them as if you are righteous and they better get with it. It is with compassion to bring care and comfort to them that the Lord is with them. The Lord has not left them, and remind them and give them the opportunity to rejoice in the Lord instead of sinking into criticism, throwing in the towel, embracing their pain, and wearing it like a trophy because our mind has got all twisted up when we were alone, dwelling on remorse and what's bad and all the terrible things. Those things are real. But we're not supposed to worry about them. We're supposed to bring them to the Lord in prayer. This isn't about ignoring what we're going through. It's about bringing it to the Lord in prayer. But remembering who he is and what he's done, that we can rejoice in the face of it. Because we recognize that God is with me. Listen, you've heard the story and some of the phrases. Some of you were around then, some of you weren't. Listen, I've talked and was open about the pain throughout my body over time because of that fall I took. And I reminded myself during those times, and still from time to time, I need to do it so that I can rejoice in the Lord. I remind myself of something. It's only my body. It's not my spirit. It's not my soul. It's just my body. And I want to take care of it, and I want you know, medical help when it's needed. I want God to divinely touch me and heal me, and you know, all of those things. It's not that my body's not important, but one day it's going to be gone. And so I remind myself, it's only my body. Don't worry about those who can hurt the body. Be concerned about the one who can condemn the soul. That's eternal. Whew. Lord, thanks for your word, because even though it's in pain, it's only my body. It's not a broken spirit. It's not a fractured soul. It's only my body. Whew. I started to rejoice in that truth. We can rejoice in the truths that the Lord brings to us and gives to us. So prophesy and speak strength to yourself. Prophesy to others and bring encouragement to them. To build them up. Not to tear them down or pour out your criticism and resentment that's spilling out of your life because you don't know how to rejoice. Or you do, but you refuse to do it. Listen, when he writes this to the Philippians, look at the rest of that passage in chapter 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say to you, rejoice. And he goes on. It says, you do that, it's going to bring you peace. Look at verse 8. Finally, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about those things. Well, I remember this, and I'm grateful for that. And I remember this. This was good. I remember, oh, that is excellent. Oh, yeah. In the Lord. And I put it into my present. Paul puts it into his present. If you will put it into your present, you will rejoy who he is and what he's done.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.